ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali, Text 22.
Raja Uvacha,
Dharmam,
Ravishi,
Dharmagya,
Dharmaha,
Asi,
Vrisharupadrik,
Yat,
Adharmakritaha,
Stanam
Suchakasya
Api
Tat
Bhavet
Rajo Vacha
Dharmam
Bravishi Dharmagya
Dharmo
Sivrisharupadrik
Yada Dharma Krita Stanam
Suchakasya Pitat Bhavet
Raja Uvacha.
The king said,
Dharmam,
religion,
Bravishi,
as you speak,
Dharmagya,
O one who knows the codes of religion,
Dharmaha,
the personality of religion,
Asi,
you are.
Vrisharupadrik,
in the disguise of a bull.
Yet,
whatever.
Adharmakritaha,
one who acts irreligiously.
Stanam,
place.
Suchakasya,
of the identifier.
Api,
also.
Tat,
that.
Bhavet
becomes.
Translation.
The king said, O
you
who are in the form of a bull,
you know
the truth of religion and you are speaking
according
to the principle that
the destination
intended for the perpetrator
of irreligious
acts
is also
intended for one who
identifies
the perpetrator.
You are
none other than the
personality of religion.
We read
the purport
yesterday, so I'll read
the next text.
Atava
deva mayaya
nunam
gatira gochara
chetaso
vachishas
chapi
bhutanam
iti nishchayaha.
Thus it
is concluded
that the Lord's
energies are inconceivable.
No one can
estimate them by
mental speculation
or
by word jugglery.
Purport
by His Divine Grace,
A.C. Bhaktivedanta
Swami Prabhupada.
A question
may be raised
as to why
a devotee should
refrain from
identifying an actor,
although he
knows
definitely
that the Lord is the
ultimate doer of
everything.
Knowing the
ultimate doer,
one should not
pose himself
as ignorant
of the actual
performer.
To answer this
doubt,
the reply
is that
the Lord
is also
not directly
responsible,
for everything
is done by his
deputed Maya Shakti,
or material
energy.
The material
energy is always
provoking doubts
about the supreme
authority of the Lord.
The
personality of
religion knew
perfectly well
that
nothing can take
place without the
sanction of the supreme
Lord,
and still he
was put into doubts
by the deluding
energy,
and thus
he refrained from
mentioning the
supreme cause.
This
doubtfulness
was due to
the contamination of both
Kali
and the
material energy.
The whole
atmosphere
of the age of
Kali
is
magnified
by the
diluting energy,
and
the proportion of
measurement
is
inexplicable.
Atava
deva mayaya
nunam
gatir
gochara
chetaso
vachasash
chapi
putanam
iti nishchaya.
Om
Agyanatamarandasya
Gananjana
Shalakaya
Chakshuran Maratanjina
Tasmai Shigurvayama.
So the Supreme Lord has unlimited energies, parashya shakti vividhaiva shruyate. And these energies are acting so perfectly that it appears to some that no one is in control, that they are simply acting automatically. It's like nature. This, we call it nature. Also the Vedas call it Maya, or material nature. So, Maya Dakshina Prakriti, this material energy, Krishna says, is working under his direction. And it is bringing about the creation and annihilation of the universes. In other words, this nature is so big and so wonderful that all these amazing things are going on. Universes are being created, universes are being annihilated. Who is this nature, this Prakriti? Well, this is also described in Srimad Bhagavatam, this Maya, Maya Shakti. It is described that the Lord casts his glance over Maya Shakti, who is a manifestation of Yoga Maya in the material world. Yoga Maya, the Lord's consort in the spiritual world. In the material world, she's also there. Durga, Srishti, Stati, Srishti, Stati, Pralaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Reka. Chaiva yasya bhuvanani vibharti durga itchana rupa apiyasya chateshtate sa govindamari purusham tamaham jami. This Chaya Devi, shadow potency of the Lord, is there. And the Lord casts his glance, and by his glance she becomes impregnated with unlimited living entities, souls. And then everything begins to manifest here in this material world. Otherwise, the material energy is also described as eight binna prakritir ashtada, made of eight portions: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So within this eight elements, the superior energy, aparayamitastvanyam prakritim vidime param, jivabhuta mahabaho yedam dayate jagat. The superior energy, the living entities, the jivabhuta, are impregnated by the glance of the Lord. So it is significant that he glances and he's impregnating. No one else can do that. Everyone else has to use the more standard method for impregnation. But this is the nature of the Lord. Any of his senses can perform the activities of the other senses. Angani yasya shakalendriya vritti manti pasyanti panti kalyanti chiram jaganti. This is God, inconceivable potencies. We cannot limit him by our mental capabilities, because he's at Hoksaja. He's beyond our intelligence. He's beyond our mind. He's beyond our ability. Durvibhavyam. He cannot be understood by the mind or the intelligence. So, he's a mystery. Yes, he's a mystery, but he agrees to reveal himself. Bhaktyamam abhijanati, by the process of bhakti, to his devotees. But simply speculating, it will not get one anywhere. It is just like beating the husk of rice. After the rice is taken out, the husk is left. So if one takes the thresher and he's beating. He's performing the labor, but he's not going to get anything. Just the labor, that's all. So in the same way, to speculate to understand the absolute truth, at least to understand Krishna, will not work. One can, by speculation, come to the conclusion of the impersonal Brahman or some idea. That is possible by the method of speculation, gyan. One can realize Brahman. Brahman, the all-pervading energy of the Supreme, the One, spiritual nature of everything. That is all right. Mayatatamidam sarvam jagaravyaktamurtina. In his impersonal feature, he's permeating, he's everywhere. That's correct. But not to understand Krishna, the Swayam Bhagavan, the original person. For that, one requires some bhakti, some devotion, some love. Well, how will we get bhakti or devotion or love? How will we even know who to love or how to love? Well, then we have to hear from the representatives of the Lord. We have to hear from the Lord Himself. He's speaking about Himself in Bhagavad Gita. He explains that I'm me, Krishna, the one who's speaking to Arjuna, is the ultimate truth. He doesn't say that the impersonal feature is the ultimate truth. He says, I'm the ultimate truth. There's no truth superior to me. And he says that this impersonal Brahman effulgence is resting upon me. And Arjuna agrees, yes. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavam, Purusham, Shashvatam Divyam, Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. That you're not only the Supreme Brahman, but you're the original, you're the supreme abode, you're the original person, you're the supreme pure, everything. Everything emanates from Him. How can we understand these things by speculation? We see now the speculators, scientists, in an attempt to understand how everything has come about, they come up with more and more silly theories that everything happens, that everything comes out of nothing. That's one theory. Or that nature is eternal, and in the sense that there's no cause of nature. Nature is causeless. So we say Mother Nature because she's producing these bodies. But if there's Mother Nature, then there must be a Father. And Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradapita, I am the seed-giving Father. So it's all explained in Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, people are not interested in hearing from Krishna, hearing Bhagavad Gita. They prefer to speculate and make guesses and write books and be authorities for some time. But actually they're nothing more than bubbles in a cosmic ocean. They're simply popping one after the other, and time is brushing them away and sweeping them into different species of life, one after the other. So if we want to get free from this cycle of repeated birth and death, then better we hear from the Vedas, the Shruti Praman, the evidence by hearing. That means by authority. There are different methods of trying to understand something. By direct perception, With the senses, we can get some information, but it's not perfect because our senses are limited and imperfect. Or by inference, by speculation, we can get perhaps something, but it may not be correct. But by hearing from authorities, someone will say, well, yes, but how do I know that the authority, they also have imperfect senses? And they may be trying to cheat me, and no. Krishna is above imperfection. He has no imperfect senses, and he has no tendency to cheat. Lord Rishabhdev pointed that out to his sons, that as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I have nothing impure. There's no impure desires. It's all for the good of all living entities. This is very reassuring. We're happy that God is good. Imagine if God were bad. It's like you have sometimes a bad dictator. This happens. We have dictators, and sometimes they have bad desires. Their hearts are impure, so they engage the people in so many sinful activities, killing others. And so that's very bad when he's powerful and bad. But fortunately, God is powerful and good. In an attempt to avoid the personality of Godhead, we make up different other persons like Superman, who we think he's also good. He's powerful, more powerful than a locomotive. So we like to glorify such fictitious persons as being glorious, like God, Batman, so many, without recognizing that the greatest of all, and he's real, you don't have to concoct it, is Krishna. He, not only does he fly when he wants to fly, but he flies right out of the material realm. He flies right up to the Vaikunthas. He can fly through the universe, through the material covering, through the Brahma Jyoti. These other creatures, they're limited by our mental capacities, which are limited to the material world because our mind is material. It can't go beyond the material. So, therefore, people need to hear about Krishna. They need to learn. And this is the duty of the devotees of the Lord. It is their responsibility to teach, to preach, to enlighten, to give people this knowledge, as of course you are aware here by distributing so many books. This is the best method for waking people up. Jeev jago, jeev jago. Gora chandra bole. Kota nidra jayamaya pisha chirakole. By distributing this literature, it is waking them up that this human form of life is not meant for animal propensities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Of course, everyone has to do that, but that is not the ultimate goal. That is just for maintaining the body. The soul doesn't need to eat. Did you know that? Soul doesn't need to eat. So what's eating then? When I'm eating, who's eating? Or who's getting the food? Is it the soul or the body? It's not the soul. Because the soul is eternally existing and he doesn't get bigger or smaller depending on how much we eat. Soul is eternally the same. Otherwise, if he got bigger, then he could also get smaller. If we ate less, then the soul could become real, even small. No. The soul's already in this material world Keshagra Shatabhagasya Shatada Kalpitasya. He's 1/10,000th the size of the tip of the hair. So the soul's not eating, it's the body that's taking in all this food and going through it. But we don't need eating, we don't need mating. The soul doesn't need to mate. What is the value of mating for the soul? It's not going to produce any more living entities. There's no question of producing more living entities. And for the soul, there's actually no pleasure in that. We think, in our minds, we think that this is going to give me pleasure. That's because we're misidentifying ourselves through ahankara, false ego, to think I'm the body. And therefore we imagine that I'm getting pleasure now. Because of ignorance, we think it's pleasure. Just like if someone drinks a nice big glass of red liquid that he thinks is some kind of strawberry soda. And he drinks it, and someone asks him, how was it? He said, it was great, it was refreshing, and then he dies because it was poison. So that pleasure that he was experiencing as the liquid was going over his tongue and down his throat was actually the cause of his death. And if he had known that he was forced to drink this poison, he would have been screaming the whole time. But instead, he was thinking it was very nice. This is our ignorance. Actually, this material sense gratification is poison. Hadi hadi bipale janamagoinu Manusha janamapaya radha krishna na bhajiya janiya shuniya vishakoinu. Instead of worshipping Radha and Krishna, we've wasted our life drinking this poison knowingly of sense gratification. At least a devotee knows, therefore he's praying, Lord, please save me from this horrible insanity of drinking poison. I've already wasted so much of my life without worshipping Radha Krishna. So now let me worship Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna has combined in Lord Chaitanya. Originally, Krishna and Radha are two separate entities, but they have again combined as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bestow upon the fallen living entities of Kali Yuga the most elevated transcendental mellow of devotional service and love of Krishna. So we should take the opportunity now by worshipping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna. That means Sankirtan. Those who are sufficiently intelligent, Yajantihi Sumerasaha, they will worship the Lord Yajyai Sankirtana Prayar. By this performance of Sankirtan, chanting of the holy names of the Lord, and glorifying, distributing this message, then we will be able to understand not only the Lord, but His energies, ourselves, everything. This is the real knowledge, the real institution of learning is here, Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the greatest book of knowledge. We should not waste our time learning something else. Why should we do that? These things are all changing. Let's say I spend my whole life studying geology. And whatever so-called information I'm deriving, it's all changing. They come up with new theories every few years. Because we can't actually understand with this body. And even if we did understand the rocks and the stones, what is it? What is the value? If the goal is to get out of this material world and go back to home, back to Godhead, Prema Pamartha Mahan, if the goal is to have love for Krishna, then we should directly address that issue. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to show us by his own example. He's teaching devotional service and practicing it at the same time. We cannot ask for anything more than that. We want acharya. We want someone who's teaching by his example. So God personally comes to teach us. And what did he do? He's chanting all the time. He's always chanting and preaching about Krishna and going to the temple of Jagannath, paying obeisances and dancing and distributing prasadam and participating in Rath Yatra and traveling and preaching. This is the activities of Lord Chaitanya. So these are our activities. We're the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, thank you very much. We'll stop there. Are there any questions? Well, they're not eating to maintain their bodies. They're eating to give Krishna pleasure. It's like, that's why devotees are supposed to eat. Because Krishna's pleased when he sees his devotees are taking prasadam, just like the spiritual master. Chaturvida bhajantema. What is it? That verse we sing in the morning. The spiritual master is offering four kinds of foodstuffs to Krishna. And when he sees the devotees are eating Bhagavad Prasadam, he is satisfied. So does it mean he's so satisfied that they're maintaining some material body? No. He's satisfied that they're honoring, they're accepting the mercy of the Lord. And because Krishna is satisfied that the devotees are accepting his mercy. So in the spiritual world, they're eating only to please Krishna. Everything there is to please Krishna. They don't do anything for any other reason other than to please Krishna. Just like if you invite some friends over and you've made a nice meal, then you offer them. So, even if they're not hungry, they may take something just to please you. So in the same way, the devotees, of course they're hungry. They're not hungry necessarily for ordinary food, but they're hungry to please Krishna. Whatever Krishna gives them, they accept as his mercy. And there's no material food in the spiritual world either. It's all spiritual. Chinmaya rasa. Everything there is made of Satchidananda Vigraha. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So we have this conception of, based on our material conditioning, that things cannot exist. Things are going to die unless... But actually, eating is not required there. But nothing is required. It's like Krishna, he has no work to perform. He has nothing to do, but yet why is he maintaining all these spiritual worlds and material worlds? If he has nothing to do, why doesn't he just go to sleep? Or why not just annihilate everything? There's nothing to do. But no, because his nature is to enjoy. And the devotee's nature is also to enjoy. So he's arranged this whole spiritual world for his enjoyment and for the mutual enjoyment of his devotees. Just like we get pleasure out of offering food to a friend and the friend accepts, that's an exchange of love, priti lakshanam. So, similarly in the spiritual world, that's where the reality is. The real friendship, the real loving affairs are there. Krishna is enjoying with his associates. We're thinking that without the duality, things cannot be enjoyable. Unless there's death, how can I enjoy life? This is what people say. Therefore, when you ask them, do you like death? They say, well, death is, you know, without death, then what would be so enjoyable about life? They think there has to be the duality. But no, there doesn't need to be the duality in the spiritual world. Everything there can be blissful without the fear of death. Everything can be blissful, even though you're eating, but you don't need to eat to maintain your physical body. Not a very important question. We have to understand, first of all, we're not this body. When questions like that were asked to Srila Prabhupada, he said, you will find out when you go there. Anyway, we will not, with our present conditioning, it might be a little difficult for us to understand how everything is constituted there. That is also the point here. Thus it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. Even the material energy is inconceivable, what to speak of the spiritual energy, which is even greater, even more beyond our present senses. So, some things we have to be patient. Anyway, we don't want to speculate beyond what Prabhupada has given if he hasn't discussed whether the fruits are of one particular nature or another. At least we know this, that everything there is of the same transcendental nature of the Lord, as the Lord. We know it's all Satchitananda Vigraha. And we know that everything there is conscious. All the living entities are conscious. So, and they're Krishna conscious. They're serving Krishna. That much we know. And more we'll be able to realize as we advance in the material world. Pardon? Even?
So how to understand this?
How to understand that they're material?
Yes.
Of action.
Yes.
The place, the time, these types of things, the activity.
Endeavor,
yeah. And ultimately the super soul. Because it's not that the material things, it's not that matter doesn't exist, as the impersonalists say. They say it's all false. The material world exists, time exists, the body exists, the living entities exist, and they have some part to play in the performance of any action. But ultimately, that, in other words, that is the Maya Shakti. What you described is the Maya Shakti. So Maya Shakti is controlling this world, but not completely. She appears to be controlling, but then behind Maya Shakti is the Shaktiman, the Supreme Lord. So ultimately, for anything to happen, there's the Maya Shakti and then there's the Supreme Lord. He gives his sanction. He's the ultimate sanctioner of anything. But we're not independent even of material nature. That's the point. Even the living entity, he cannot perform anything without the blessings of Maya Shakti. The demigods are also working under the Maya Shakti. So when a living entity desires to go somewhere, then if it is ordained, if it is allowed by the Lord, then he allows the Maya Shakti to empower the demigods, to empower our legs to move, locomotion, the eyes to see. Otherwise, these things can all be taken away. So the Maya Shakti is dependent also upon Krishna. Living entity, he's sometimes considered a doer. Of course, in the ultimate issue, he's not the doer, because he cannot perform anything by himself. Man proposes and God disposes. But he does have the power to desire. And it is according to his desire that he gets a material body and all these things. So ultimately he has some minute independence to act. He's also an actor. It's like we say Atma, the soul and the body. It's the soul that is the one who's desiring and the one who's enjoying or suffering. But he's not independent in his ability to do so. Yes, in that sense. But that is not due to eating foodstuffs. That is the original nature of the soul, like you described, that the original form of the soul is manifest as one becomes free from the bondage of this material world. So yes, that's correct. But it's not based on some ordinary foodstuffs or nourishment like that, spiritual. So thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.